Well, as I said at the beginning of this part of the church year, I was going to spend some time in Ephesians. And so obviously that's where we're going to be today. And I'm hoping it's not a problem, but it gives me another opportunity to speak again about one of the things that I've brought up more than once, namely spiritual gifts. I was obviously lacking in both accuracy, what with the typo on the first hymn number, and creativity, because Let's Talk Gifts Again is about the lamest sermon title I think I've ever come up with. But I didn't know what to say about it, other than we're going to talk about spiritual gifts again, which we've talked about often. And we've talked about them often because it's really important that we understand them. And as I've said before, the fact that we've discussed something before or we're talking about something familiar certainly doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with that, because often it's when we revisit the familiar that we find things that we may have overlooked before. And even if we don't, there's nothing wrong with reviewing what we already know. If nothing else, we wouldn't have birthdays and anniversaries if we didn't have some value in doing things over again, even though we already know. We all know that we were born. Why celebrate it? It seems silly. Well, of course it's not silly. It's a reminder of all kinds of things that we've accomplished, whether it's in 19 years or with Eileen, 35 or 40, whatever she's got herself to now. But we'll go back to spiritual gifts, and we'll begin with the obvious. We all have spiritual gifts. With a relationship with God that comes through Jesus, the Holy Spirit is part of that. And part of having the Holy Spirit within us is getting spiritual gifts. It says in our text, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned." The grace that Paul is talking about here is a gift. And it's always helpful for us to review a little bit about what a spiritual gift is. It's not a talent, although often they overlap somewhat. A spiritual gift is something that is given to us that allows us to accomplish things that we wouldn't be able to otherwise. A spiritual gift is more than a talent. It's more than even taking our talent and putting a lot of discipline into learning how to do it better and then adding experience to it. That will make us very good at things, which are also a gift to the church. But a spiritual gift is different. The Holy Spirit provides to us those things that we need to accomplish what only we can do in the church. Now, we might not always know exactly what gift is ours. Some of them are fairly obvious. Those with the gift of teaching, when they teach things, people learn. The gift of teaching is interesting in that people who have the gift of teaching can often teach things that they don't know very well to people who then know them better than the teacher themselves. And I think we've all had teachers like this. This is, I think, the genesis of that proverb, that those who can't do, teach. And it's usually used in a dismissive way. But for some people, it doesn't matter whether they can do it or not. They can teach you how. And it's an extraordinary thing to see. But if we don't know what our gift is, or we're not sure what it is, we need to be reminded that it's okay to experiment with them, to see if it is. If you're wondering if you have a gift of teaching and you're not sure, find a place to do some teaching, whether you're teaching children or adults, whatever it might be, and see what the result is. Keeping in mind that spiritual gifts are not given to you in a sense sort of full-fledged and at their ultimate ability, if you will. Spiritual gifts still grow within us, much like talents do. But there's something different about them. If nothing else, they're the kind of thing that often you can't, in a real sense, you just can't teach yourself. We all have faith. We have faith in God. We have faith in the physical world around us. The old example, you all have faith in the pews you're sitting in, or you wouldn't have sat down. But the gift of faith is something extraordinary. The gift of faith is that ability to see God at work when nobody else can. And that's something that you can't do yourself, although you can grow in it. It's a gift that is given to you. Now, in this particular section, now Paul does talk about spiritual gifts frequently. In three of his letters, and this is the author of most of the New Testament, he talks about spiritual gifts here, also in Romans and in 1 Corinthians. And in here he says, "It was he," that's God, "who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." Now, it's important to remember that none of Paul's lists are exhaustive. If nothing else, they're different. And so we look at his lists, and we look at Peter's lists, and we put them together, and we sort of weave them together into a list of 26 or 28 spiritual gifts, depending on how you count them. And we look at what's in there to see where we might be. And let's not forget that these aren't necessarily an exhaustive list, even when we put them all together. If nothing else, the one that's left out in these lists that I think most people agree with is that there appears to be a spiritual gift of worship. Those who can take us from our regular lives, if you will, into the presence of God in an extraordinary way. There aren't very many of these people, but they do exist, and they seem to have something more than just the ability to pick good songs and to communicate what those songs mean. To have moments of silence and action and all those things that work together. And when you're with someone who seems to have this spiritual gift, it's an extraordinary experience. So when we're looking at Ephesians and we look at that list and we say, well, I'm not any of those, let's not forget that the particular letter that we call the letter of Ephesians or the book of Ephesians was written for a particular purpose. And in this case, Paul is talking more about these sort of, I don't like the word up front, but these more public kinds of roles of being an apostle, prophets, evangelists. Well, most churches don't need an apostle. Actually, very few churches, no church needs an apostle. An apostle goes someplace where people aren't, where the church isn't yet. That's what apostles do. We may not have evangelists, you never know. I'm certain that we have people with the gift of prophecy. And this isn't the prophecy of looking into the future, that's something else. A prophet in this case is someone who has a specific word of God for the people of God to know what we should do at this time. Sometimes it's a word of correction that says we need to go in another direction. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement. But it's one of those things that does come up. And I'm certain that we have those with the gift of prophecy in this church. Pastors and teachers, I think we have those. We have apparently someone with the gift of preaching who shows up every Sunday. I think it's a gift of mine. It's been confirmed by many people who say that it is a gift. And it's actually taken me a while to understand the difference between the gift and the talent. Speaking in public is a talent. It's something anybody can learn. Some people it takes a long time, some people it takes a short time. But I used to teach public speaking, and I undertook to tell people that I can teach anybody to speak in public. You may not be as good as pick your favorite orator, but you will be able to speak in public because that's a talent. Preaching is different. It's different than making a speech. It's different even than teaching something out of the Bible, because that's easy, or at least it's easy for me. You look at what the Bible says, this is what it says, and you explain it. But preaching is a little bit different. In conversation with the Holy Spirit, I see what these texts have for us, all of us, not just you. This is for me, too. Preachers always preach to themselves at the same time as they're preaching to you, by the way. Sometimes they're only preaching to themselves, and you get to listen. But hopefully that doesn't happen too often. But the Holy Spirit says, this is what this text is for these people for this time. Which is different than just giving you the historical background of the book of Ephesians, or spending a whole sermon on the tricky textual bits that might be there. Preaching says, this is what God has for us. And I believe strongly that what God has for us is a reminder that we all have spiritual gifts. Even if we don't know what they are yet, we all have at least one, and most people have more than one. Because some of these gifts happen on an ongoing basis. When we look at some of the other lists that Paul has, gifts of being helpful, gifts of compassion, gifts of giving, these are things that happen on an ongoing basis. The gift of a word of wisdom happens when it's needed. So you might have that gift and not need it or not need to exercise it for years. So if we all have gifts, and even if we don't know what they are exactly, so we try things to figure them out. What's the purpose of them all? And that's really the crux of the matter. And it's in the last verse of the passage that Guy read for us this morning. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Paul uses the image of the human body frequently. And he applies it to the church, saying the church is the body of Christ. This group together this morning, we are the body of Christ. We're also part of the larger body of Christ, the church universal, that's all around the world. But we are an instance of the body of Christ. Now, for anyone who's had any physical infirmity, temporary or long term, you know perfectly well that you need all the parts of your body to work the way they're supposed to have a life that isn't uncomfortable, at least. and sometimes even worse. Every part of your body needs to do what it needs to do. And Paul talks in another passage, in another one of his letters, anthropomorphizing the body, saying, well, what would happen if the hand said, I have nothing to do with you because I can't see, and the eye said, well, I don't have anything to do with the body because I can't taste. What Paul's getting at in that passage and what he's alluding to here is that each of us has a gift that works in conjunction with everybody else's gifts to make a whole body. Now, this particular body is different than ours in that this body changes from week to week. Some Sundays we have a particular group of people, the next Sunday it's mostly those people and some others. It shifts back and forth. Does that mean that it's sometimes the body is critically missing one of its parts? And the answer is no. That's one of the reasons why so many of us have more than one gift, so that we always have redundancy, if you will. It's built in that the church always has what the church needs, as long as we're willing to exercise it. And that's the whole point of it. It's only through the exercise of all of our gifts that the church can be truly whole. I don't want your spiritual gifts, and I don't want you to exercise your spiritual gifts. I need your spiritual gifts, and I need you to exercise them. Because if you don't, then we're missing something. And it's just like a body that's missing something. I don't know how many of you have had knee pain, but I have. Well, you've all lived through me complaining about my knees far too often, so I won't go back there. But when one of your knees doesn't work, your body isn't exactly the way it should be. You can't walk as quickly. In my case, you're not as easy to get along with. You tend to be a lot crabbier. Your temper's shorter. A whole bunch of things just don't work. For the church to work, we all need to be willing to exercise our spiritual gifts whenever they're needed. And most of the time, that's fairly straightforward. And most of the time, honestly, it's pretty easy. Those of us who have the gift of compassion and the gift of helping, we just do those things. And the church works because of it. Those of us with the gifts of teaching and preaching and some of those other things, the gifts that make a good elder, we show up and we do those things that we need to do, that for some of you, you would find just incomprehensible. Talents and gifts are similar in that way, that those who have them often underestimate their value. Because what's easy for us, we think must be easy for everybody else, so why is it such a big deal? And it's not till we actually talk to people who say, no, I find it really hard to be compassionate. Or I find it really hard to have faith that God will continue to see me through no matter what happens. Or what I get is I find it hard to imagine standing in front of a group of people that aren't my immediate family and talking. And sometimes I've been doing this so long I think, well, how hard is this? It's not your gift, it's hard. And if it's not your gift, you need someone else to exercise that gift that you need, that this body of Christ might be complete and that we might receive what only you can provide. Don't diminish or dismiss those things that are easy for you to do just because they're easy for you to do. Particularly if you've been in the church for a long time, you've probably been exercising your spiritual gifts, whether you know it or not, because other people see them often before we do and often see them better than we do. And you've been encouraged to go in those directions where those gifts are of the greatest value to the church. That first time somebody said, we'd really like you to be on this committee because we think you have a lot to offer. We'd really like you to teach this class. We'd really like you to be part of our prayer group because you seem to have a connection with God that is just really encouraging to the rest of us. And you may not have even known that those were all spiritual gifts, but they were. And the church saw them in you and said, we need you to do those things. And now that you've been doing them for a long time, you may think, well, this is just part of who I am and it's not that important. Well, the first part's right, but the second part's wrong. It is part of you. The Holy Spirit has built into you gifts that are the Holy Spirit's gift to us as well. And we need you to exercise those. Because you do what we can't. For the body of Christ to be complete, we need everyone to exercise the gifts that they have. when they first discover them, when you first join a new body of believers, perhaps those gifts aren't as strong or as obvious or as widely utilized as they will be, but we still need what you're doing even now. There's no freeloaders in the church. There's nobody who's here just because they happen to be here. God gives his gifts to his people because he loves all of his people. He loves each of us. And he needs all of us working together to be the body of Christ that he has called us to be, that we might do what only we can do in this group, even as we can only do, that only we can do what we can do as individuals. It's the same thing. It's our own relationship with God writ larger when we are all together doing what he has called us to do. So the reminder when we talk about gifts is that we have to have each other's gifts. That there's no room for false modesty about what your gifts are. When people ask you to do those things that God has provided that gift for you to do, it's because we need them. And because you need to give them to us as well. When we exercise those gifts, it's when we are closest to God, it seems. When we understand our part in his plan for us, for the community we're in, and for the greater world. So remember, we all have gifts. It's okay to play around with them now and then if you're not quite sure what you've got. But the people next to you need them. I need them. We all need them. Amen.